It's a leprechaun reference.
Two guys that talk.
And we know most people probably won't get it.
Two guys that talk.
We don't care about world views, celebrity nudes. We're just talking about music, movies, games. It's cool. We're just some regular guys, but we know what we like and why.
And welcome back to another episode of Two Guys That Talk, everybody. As promised, here's part two of our video game discussion this week, our top four personal favorites. Let's just get right into it. All right. My number four is GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64.
Another one that I played at my mom and dad's friend's house because I never had an N64.
Okay, so hang on a second. I just realized something. One, two, three, four of these on my list are from the Nintendo 64. But it was my first real console. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we had an NES. I don't really remember it. My memories come from later in life on the NES, going back and picking that up again. The Nintendo 64 was my fucking jam.
Yeah.
And I still own it. Like, it's my original Nintendo 64 that we got gifted to us in Christmas in 97 is upstairs right
That's
now.
That's incredible.
But anyway, GoldenEye. Possibly the best Nintendo 64 game. Some people would say
N64 had some, I would say N64 had some bangers. I never played any of them, but it had some bangers.
Yeah, you had a PlayStation. You're a PlayStation guy.
My number one is from the PlayStation, and it's like because they're pretty much all the same.
Yeah.
But they were just what I played. And I still love them to this day.
I know what your number one is now, I think. We'll get to it, but I think I know what it is. But anyway,
Okay, before don't let me say it. Before I say it, I want you to say it, because you're probably right. I just want to see how well you know me.
Okay. When we get to number one, yeah. I'll see
All right, anyway, GoldenEye, okay. Let's get back on track.
So this was my introduction to multiplayer.
Yeah.
Like this mine is too. Four person split screen fucking goodness. And this I remember my brother bringing over his friends and us literally having a room full of people upstairs in the fucking game room shouting at the TV, playing GoldenEye.
You're that fucking guy in that video.
Dude.
Dun it.
The guy's like, are you going to learn today? Okay, so again, man, GoldenEye, I played it so much. I went back again in my 20s and played it and got fucking good at it.
Yeah.
To the point where, because to unlock cheats in GoldenEye, you had to finish certain levels in a certain time. And what I liked about it was you didn't need a cheat book to do it. It told you. When you finished a level, it said it gave you your time, and then it said goal time. So if you had like a goal time to beat, you knew, oh, I need to beat that mission in like a minute 12. All right. Fucking game on. And what was so cool about it was there's no inner game timer. Unless you hit a stopwatch, you didn't fucking know.
Yeah.
So you're playing the game, you're playing the level. It's like ferociously like, okay, everything's going good. And then you fucking finish it and you get out and you might be 1 second off. And you're like, son of a bitch. The amount of times that happened to me where I'm like, done. And it would come up and it'd be like a minute 24 and my time was a minute 25. And I'm like, no. But yeah, just the split screen fucking.
Was this the first split screen game?
It's the first one I remember.
It's the first one I've ever heard. Because my first exposure to like multiplayer was in Super Mario 3, where one of you could be Luigi.
Yeah.
Split screen, that had to be.
Split screen, four person split screen.
That had to have been the first one. I mean, we might be wrong.
It came out in 1997.
Yeah.
All right. You know what?
Let's look this up. Because that's.
But okay, you look it up.
I'll look it up.
You keep it up. I'm gonna gush about this because this was a game that lived in infamy for years. Everybody talked about how revolutionary GoldenEye was, how great it was. It only existed on the Nintendo 64. That was it. There were no re-releases of it. There was no remaster or anything like that. And then the Wii comes along. And they announce that they're doing GoldenEye Reloaded. And everybody's like, finally, we're getting a GoldenEye remaster. They're going to use Daniel Craig as Bond because he was Bond then, you know, and it's just like, okay, cool. We're getting a GoldenEye remaster. And I remember buying it, and I remember going home and plugging it in, and it just fucking pissed me off and ruined my whole goddamn weekend.
What was wrong with it?
It was god-awful.
Oh, no.
The remake was fucking terrible. Everything that was good about GoldenEye was
How
not,
do you fuck that up?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, the foundation is there.
It was fucking atrocious. It was so bad, it spawned this guy to take on the task to do it himself. So he was working on a GoldenEye remaster, a true blue GoldenEye remaster, all funded off of like a Kickstarter and stuff, and he was releasing clips of it, and then Nintendo or somebody sent him a cease and desist letter, and he had to stop working on it. But it looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So they just re-released GoldenEye. It's, again, not an update, not a remaster. They just kind of cleaned up the Nintendo 64 graphics a little bit.
Yeah, put a little lipstick on the pig.
Put a little lipstick on it, but they released it on Switch and Xbox, I believe. Because, I mean, I have it on Xbox. So to tell you how much I love this game, it was included in what was called Rare Replay, which were all games made by the publisher Rare, Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark, GoldenEye, all this stuff. When that collection came out, they promised GoldenEye will be added to it one day for free. I didn't buy it then. I'm like, well, wait. The collection was $30, and I bought it just for GoldenEye.
Yeah.
So I paid $30 in 2023 to play GoldenEye again, and when I hit play, I adored it. It was, and I showed it to my brother. I was like, dude, GoldenEye's back. And we started playing it. He handed his son a controller. You gonna learn today. He handed his son a controller. They started playing multiplayer again. And it's the split screen multiplayer, just like back in the day. They changed fuck all in this remake. And I love it. It is exactly like playing it on the 64 again. And I just played it all the way through again. Had a fucking blast. That game rules.
I played it. I remember playing it a bit at my uncle's too. I remember playing with my brother a bit. But yeah, otherwise I didn't get like the full GoldenEye experience.
I did.
Just a group of friends or a group of, you know, four people.
I did. And that's probably why it's so fun, because I literally can remember that room full of my brother's friends and all of us screaming at the TV and you just couldn't wait for your turn. You know, you just couldn't wait for your turn to play it.
I couldn't find anything on the first. Oh, it was just a bunch of nerds arguing in a forum.
Well, you know what? In our case, it's going to be that. It's my first memory of a split screen game. I never saw it before. I guess Nintendo 64 is my first introduction of it, because Mario Kart had split screen as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but this was a fucking first person shooter game where you walked through. I mean, this was Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
To me, long before Call of Duty.
This is laying the groundwork for a game like Call of Duty, for sure. It's the pioneer.
I mean, as far as split screens go, mind you, because Doom had
FPS.
LAN parties. You know, stuff that was on PC had LAN parties, and they had like shit like that.
That's true, yeah.
But
yeah,
as far as like all of you sitting in the same room playing on the same system with the same controllers, like that, to me, GoldenEye was the first one.
Great game. I need to revisit it.
Well, especially now that it's part of the Rare Replay. Like, the Rare Replay is worth $30 because Perfect Dark is great, Banjo Kazooie is great. I mean, all that stuff is great, but it's worth it for fucking GoldenEye alone. The game absolutely rules and still rules to this
Banjo Kazooie sounds like a fucking like stoner band. You go see Banjo Kazooie tonight. They're opening for Grateful Dead.
Hey, listen, Banjo Kazooie fucking rules, man.
All righty,
that
was your number four. Your door is four. All right, my number four, and this is the one I kind of cheated just because I don't think I could really ever go back and play it, and that's Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
So there, this is your Bethesda game.
They're
Bethesda.
Hang on a second. Is Skyrim the sequel to Oblivion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because you got Oblivion on the PS3. I got Oblivion, and I hated it.
I thought it was boring as shit. It was like farming not high. That game was fucking boring. I'm sorry, but it was.
Oblivion fucking rules.
I walk around with a sword talking to people. Fucking game sucks. Fucking game is stupid.
You guys couldn't see it, but what made it great was just his fucking pantomiming, walking around with his sword talking to people.
While you were just walking around staring at your sword and walking up to people, giving them shillings for them to tell you nothing. Fucking hated that game.
Oh, you're
hated
fucking crazy. So yeah, Skyrim, this is the one game that, like I said, I don't really foresee me ever going back and playing again. But I played, I got this and Uncharted 3 for Christmas from my wife at the time. And, I think I made my mommy give me that, actually. Thinking about it, I think my mommy got me these. I was in my fucking 20s. Anyway, and I kid you not, I sank fucking 500 hours into it in a year. Like, it was just, I was so addicted to it. I remember watching my buddy Nick play it. And the first time I saw, like, a random dragon attack, I was just like, dude, this is fucking incredible. And I'm such a nerd. Like, I love that, you know, time, like, not time period, because obviously it's all I love that universe. The fantasy, the medieval dragons, all that fucking shit that is amazing.
Yeah, you got Wizards and Dragons. Sign you
oh,
the fuck up.
Oh, yes. I am. That is me, baby. I love that shit. Mm-hmm. And I played this game so much, but there is a game coming up on this list that just absolutely ruined it for me.
I think I know what game is coming up on your list
for the
too.
Combat.
I think I know. I think.
Oh,
I
guarantee. I've talked about these games before.
I was
so
gonna say.
Much.
I think I know your. I think I know two of your top three now, just from context clues. And again, just because of knowing you for all these years, and yeah, you talked about them a bunch. But yeah, I never gave Skyrim a fucking chance because I didn't really need to talk to somebody and have them tell
That's
me.
That's what I was saying.
Nonsense.
Like when we talked about doing this, when I was creating this list, I was like Sean and I are just, we have two totally different tastes in games.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was just talking about GoldenEye and you're talking about Skyrim. Like that's,
I love big, just universes where I can just walk around and just do these random quests. And yeah, like I've never beat Skyrim. I've never beat the main story. I've played it for 1,000 hours. Mm-hmm. Never beat it. The game's so fucking big. You could sit there and you can play the main story if you want to. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like the game itself is just you creating your own journey. And Oblivion, that's probably like, you know, with you with Oblivion, why you think it's so boring, because I think sometimes like you may have been looking for like a gun experience. Like you wanted a narrative to be following along.
I am very much a give me a good story and let me follow along. And if it's not, then give me like
good gameplay.
Good gameplay. If it's not a good story. And yeah, if it's not, yeah, I don't want to walk up to a fucking elf and
walk around with a sword talking to people.
Walk up to an elf and talk to him and have him say some shit that I'm like, all right, I don't know what that means.
Skyrim was like my first love of like Western RPGs.
Yeah.
I won't give that away. I mean, I've always loved RPGs. This was my first like Western RPG. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for, which the game that came up isn't even like a Western RPG, it's more of an action RPG, but the combat just soiled it. Fuck, just completely. I can't go back and play this clunky ass combat in Skyrim anymore.
Yeah, that is one thing I'll say about going back and playing GoldenEye on the original N64. Mm. Control wise, with that controller, it is a little clunky. Now, about mission six, you're so used to it that you forget about it. But when you first pick it up, you're like, man. This is fucking clunky, man.
I think that happened to me with Vice City. I think I went back and played it a few years ago.
Oh, God. If you go
and
back
the controls,
and you play...
controls, it's just like, Jesus. I feel like I'm fucking learning to walk.
I was
just
saying,
like,
if
this
you
is
go back,
terrible.
If you go back and you play the original Vice City on PS2, your fucking cars, they might as well have Hoovers for tires. Because all right, I'm going to take a slight little turn. You just fucking, I mean, they turn, like the driving is atrocious in that. And it's only because the driving in games.
Choose by Firestone.
The driving in new games has gotten so fucking good and so realistic that you go back and you play something like that and it's just like, you're right. It's like, I look like a fucking schmuck. I'm just slamming into everything.
Like I'm steering a forklift.
Speaking of driving.
Oh.
right into my number three.
Fucking NASCAR 99.
You got me.
I played the shit out of that on PlayStation.
Big Jeff Gordon guy. No, Mario Kart on the Nintendo 64.
Oh my God. Some of my fondest gaming memories are us on Sundays hungover playing fucking Mario Kart.
Playing
in the morning.
Mario Kart, man. And Mario Kart is still to this day, like Mario Kart 8 on the Switch is fan-fucking-tastic.
Really?
If you are a fan of this series, like Mario Kart 8 is just, it's an ever-expanding game. They keep adding tracks to it. Just about every track you could want is on there. And it's so good. But like my introduction to Mario Kart was on the Nintendo 64. Yes, I know it existed on the Super Nintendo, yeah. But I never played it.
I didn't either.
Not until I've gone back and played it now. But my sister played this game with us. Like my sister, my brother and I all upstairs playing Mario Kart together and just laughing our asses off. Didn't really matter that you lost the race except yeah. for you.
What?
Do you remember this? I still quote this to this day. We were playing at Kevin's house and we were playing Mario Kart and I think it was on Peach's Castle. No, I'm sorry. We were doing Luigi Raceway. Okay. It's just a circle because that one was the funnest one to do with all of us and everybody kind of.
Yeah, I was shit at the game. I literally, us playing at Kevin's was the first time I'd ever really actually sank in.
Right. And I had played hours of it and you aren't going to beat me. So we were just doing the circle track because all it takes is one red shell for a guy to lose. We're coming around the last turn and you just went, I refuse to get last because you had gotten last like
every nine races
in a row and you had like a shell and you passed somebody right at the end. You got like third and it was like, woo! But I just still to this, like when I'm playing Mario Kart now, if I get in last place, like some bullshit happens.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I refuse. I still quote it to this day.
I forgot about that.
But there's so much about Mario Kart that I absolutely love. Like I said, it's my intro to the series. Still play it to this day. Came with the Nintendo 64. So that morning that we got it, plugging in the controllers mm-hmm. and all of us playing it together. Like
it's an absolute banger.
Oh, like, it's incredible.
Some of the most fun you can have just sitting around with a bunch of people and just racing on little carts.
Yeah.
Like it's just racing on little tiny cars.
And again, so like new Mario Kart, part of the reason why, listen, I whoop cop ass on Mario Kart. Okay. I mean, if I wasn't already married, that'd be my pickup line. Like, I understand.
Did it hurt when I kicked your ass in Mario Kart?
I understand.
You know what's going to happen.
I understand Mario Kart. Okay. I get it. I understand how it works, but the new one is very much like you have to drift. You got to let go of the drift at the right time to get the right boost. That shit didn't happen on Mario Kart 64. Like everybody, it was a very even playing field. There weren't different carts. There weren't different wheels or things like that. You just fucking raced and anybody could win at any moment. It helped to be a little bit good at the game to know the tracks more than anything, but anybody could win.
Yeah. And like learning, like, cause there's several shortcuts you could take.
There were shortcuts, but also knowing like, okay, this is a sharp left turn coming up here. I need to start drifting.
Having
now.
The timing down for, yeah. Yeah, Mario Kart, man, it's a great time with friends.
Mario Kart is my you gonna learn today game. I had my nephew and one of his friends was over at my house when I used to live at the old place. They were playing Mario Kart, and the one kid kept winning. And he's getting really penis-y about it too, you know. There was multiple kids there. They kept. That makes me sound awful. I was watching these kids. I wasn't like, I'm not Michael Jackson. I'm not luring them in with a Nintendo 64 and promises of a good time. Like,
Show with kids who I am not attracted to at all.
So they're passing the control back and forth, all trying to beat this one kid. And I'm just sitting on the couch watching all this happen. He starts to get a little bit too cocky for his own good. So I'm just like, hey, hand me the controller. I whooped his fucking ass. I mean, I think I was three laps ahead of him. I'm lapping his ass, slapping him on the back of the head as I go by. I'm like, you gonna learn today.
Stay humble, Peckwood.
Yeah, stay humble, my friend. That's Mario Kart is my flexing game.
Think I have a flexing game, to be honest. I don't think there's a single game where I'm like, I'm so fucking good at this.
And here's the thing. There are hyper nerds that would leave my ass in the dust.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mario Kart.
But your general population around here?
Yeah, your gen pop, you're going to fucking hand them their ass on a plate.
I will. That's my flex game.
All righty. Where are we at here?
That was my number three.
That was you number Trey? Fuck are my notes. My number three is the game that I am fucking gooch deep in right now, and that is Diablo 2. So this one's a little bit recency bias, but I played... So it's, I have Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, because I played just too many days of Diablo 3.
Okay, so for the listeners and myself who do not know what Diablo is, what is it?
They're just action RPGs. They're just basically... You create a character, like they have different classes. You have your barbarian, your wizard, depending on which one. So in Diablo 3, you have barbarian, wizard, necromancer, nerdy shit. Mm-hmm. And you start with nothing and you just play through the story. The story's not very long. You can beat the game in like an hour and a half, 2 hours if you're good. But where the game starts is with the looting. So then you just go through, like Diablo 2, I kind of prefer it to Diablo 3. It's a lot harder, and the loot is, it's not as easy to acquire, so it's a lot more grindy. Basically, once you get into like late game, you're just grinding the same bosses over and over and over again, just trying to like get the most like min-max like little upgrades to your gear. And it's a fucking blast, and I'm just addicted to it. I'm so addicted to it. And I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop playing. They're brilliant games. They're very, very, very. They definitely scratch that gambling itch. You know that chance. What's at the end of the rainbow itch? And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I can't wait for the fourth one to come out.
Okay, so is it an online thing?
It can be. You can play with other players, or you can just play by yourself.
And you just play by yourself?
Well, I played with our buddy Logan and my brother. A few nights ago.
Well, what I was getting at was hours and hours and hours of grinding and upgrading your character. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of shit that you're just like, nothing to show for it. You know?
I mean, oh yeah. Like, no.
Cause back to my Mario Kart 8, I have 3-star gold on every track. Okay, it's nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's just my itch where even when they release a new track, I got to 3-star it. I got to. Like, it's just, I have to. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I'm just thinking to myself, like you said, just for that little minuscule upgrade.
Yeah, that's all it is. And
honey, get in here.
It's just a lot of fun. Like, I suck at the games, don't get me wrong. Like, there's some turbo nerds that I watch on YouTube that are just incredible at it. And... that have, like, especially like Diablo 2, like the game came out 20 years ago and it's incredibly robust. Hmm. Like, even to this day, like, it's just, you have to have a fucking PhD to understand all that shit in the game. And Diablo 3, they definitely made it a lot more like accessible.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as robust. And, but they're just a lot of fun. That's why, like, I'm so into RuneScape as well. RuneScape's not on here just because it's kind of weird. It's an MMO. It's a little bit different, and a lot of times you're just watching numbers go up on a screen. It's really kind of pointless.
You played so much fucking RuneScape.
Oh, dude, I haven't played it in like a month, but like I was putting. I mean, I can't even imagine how much time I played that game. But again, I love a mindless grind. Like, if I can just put in some headphones, listen to some podcasts, and just play. I could do it forever. Yeah. Like last night, it was so funny. My girlfriend wakes up. It was like 3:30 in the morning and I'm still sitting on the couch and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I can't help myself. I don't know. Then my son gets up and goes, you guys are awake at this time? I was like, yeah, but I'm awake and I really shouldn't be. And he looked at me and goes, it's okay. And he went back to bed.
Your son's like the parent coming out
with
his robe tied. What are you still doing up?
Right? It's so funny. Like, I feel like such a little kid when my girlfriend gets up and it's like 3 a.m. and I'm still playing a video game. It's like, oh my God, like, this isn't going to be good. And I feel like such an idiot. Like, good Lord. I should be just like kissing her feet every night. Like, thank you for staying with me.
Well, I'll have to take your word for Diablo because I've never played any.
They're
of fun. Them.
They're on everything now. Like they're on the Switch. They're on PS4. They're probably on Xbox.
But
they're just they're fun.
Yeah,
they're just mindless arcadey fun.
But they're also Brandon St. Randy. They're not my demographic.
Yeah, I mean, No.
So I wouldn't have fun with them. I didn't like Oblivion. I'm not probably not going to like those games.
They're nothing like that. There's Blizzard. So it's by Blizzard, the same company that does World of Warcraft.
Yep.
And like, honestly, they did like a year ago, they remade Diablo 2 and they upgraded all the cinematics and the cinematics for like, cause they just released the beta for Diablo 4, which honestly, Diablo 4, it's not even going to be as good as Diablo 2. But still, like the cinematics that they have for like in between the acts, they're incredible.
So here's the only reason I know what Diablo is, or well, kind of know of it. There was a YouTube video of them and the way they're announcing that Diablo was going to be a mobile exclusive.
At
some point, and they got torn the fuck apart.
Yeah,
and like the crowd was like booing, and of course this nerdy developer guy didn't know how to react to it, and so it was someone made this YouTube video of him and it was Diablo, and I'm just like,
probably Asmongold because he does a lot of reacts to videos.
This wasn't a react. This was just literally just the video of what I think it was at E3, and someone just snipped like that little portion out of the Diablo thing where he announced it was going to be mobile, and people were like booed.
Diablo Immortal is a crime. Like it's terrible. Like it's basically it's every mobile game. It's all these goddamn microtransactions. That's all it is. Like, hey, we're going to test your patience. We know you have a short attention span, and you're just going to pay us money so you can advance the character.
And that's where like games, and something I absolutely adored about the Marvel Spider-Man game, because I was worried honestly going into it, because I had heard about all the different Spider-Man costumes that you could get, and one of them was the Sam Raimi movie suit, and I'm like, oh, that would be cool to swing around in that, you know. Again, this is all just aesthetic shit, doesn't matter, but there will gladly be people that would hand you extra money for that. They were all in-game unlockables, all of them, and you just found them by exploring.
Shocking in this day and age.
Exactly. I was fucking over the moon when I found out that every Spider-Man suit that was unlockable in that game, or you could get in that game, was unlockable in game. I was like, thank you.
It's also sad now that it's so rare for a game on release to be any good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're in this time now where these developers can release unfinished games. You still pay the premium price with the hopes that, hey, we're going to patch this and it's going to be better.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
But, you know, kind of like to go back to Red Dead 2. Like, Red Dead 2, honestly, amazing because they put so much time into the story. They didn't give a fuck about the online and the multiplayer. Yeah. Like, it came later and it was okay. But that fucking single player experience was so good. Mm-hmm. And there are people to this day like, where's our DLC? Give us a DLC. Fuck you. The game was perfect. Go back and play it again.
Yeah, and it's like forever long.
It is.
So just what the fuck?
But people are begging for a DLC for it, and Rockstar's just like,
remember the DLC for Red Dead Redemption 1, the zombies?
Undead Nightmare,
yeah.
That's where people are like, amazing. Why are we getting an Undead Nightmare? Because you don't need it. Because Red Dead 2 was perfect. It's fucking perfect. But anyway, I digress.
So that was your number. What was that? That was my number three. So now we're on your number dos.
My number two is Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where Yoshi.
Is your introduction to Yoshi. It is my favorite Mario game, absolutely bar none. I play it once a year and still go through and beat it. And when I say beat it, I mean beat it. I play it all the way through. That game has 96, well, they call it exits. So there's not 96 levels, but there are 96 exits, meaning that some levels have two or three possible exits that lead you to a secret
different area
or whatever. I will go through and I will play all 96 exits every time I play it. And maybe this is why my brain shuts me off of a game like Oblivion or something like that, because I am very much a completionist.
Yes, you're looking for an objective.
I am very much a completionist. When I bought Mario Odyssey and I found out there were, what'd they say? I think 999 moons or something like that almost 1,000 moons to collect. I'm like, bring it on. And I did it. I got all of them. And I just, so maybe a game like that or like a Skyrim where I don't have the fucking time and I'm not.
Yeah, no.
I'm just not going to do this.
It would take forever.
Yeah. And the same thing with Grand Theft Auto, like Vice City. Yes, I've beaten the story mode. My brain is happy with that. I don't need to go through and find every hidden thing. I don't need to do every stunt jump. I didn't need to do all this.
You ever watch The Completionist on YouTube?
No.
It's a great YouTube channel where he will. He'll go through.
Do everything.
And beat all these games. And it's a great channel. You should really check it out.
All right, I will.
Really high quality videos.
But anyway, so Super Mario World is my favorite Mario game, bar none. It's my favorite art style. I fucking adore the art style of Super Mario
World. It's very cool.
The music in that game is so good. But I have this very fond memory of this game. And we were around like 13 or 14 years old. We were at a friend of mine's house. And another buddy was down. Kyle was down. And he's a hyper nerd of games. And my buddy had original SNES and had Super Mario World. And this was like 2003, right? So we could have been playing Vice City or something like that. We spotted the Super Nintendo. We plugged it in. It was a snowstorm. It was snowing its ass off to the point where we were stuck there. So now this was an unintentional like buddy sleepover kind of thing. You know, we were just hanging out. The weather got so bad. Our parents were just like, well, stay there. You know, we plugged in Super Mario World. And when I tell you, we played that fucker till like 2:30 in the morning. And this was where I discovered I was missing an exit. All these years, I didn't know I was missing one, but Kyle knew where they all were. And just, we played that game for hours and hours and hours, and it was kind of where I realized I fucking adore this game. Absolutely love it. And to this day, like I am not shitting you when I say I play it once a year. I do.
You can blame Kyle for me playing RuneScape.
I know. He's Kyle's the one that got I me know. Introduced to I know he is.
Well, Kyle. And he's also part of, he's also involved in my number one.
Okay. Yeah. So it just, he showed me all the secret exits and shit, and I just was enthralled with it. And literally since then, I've gone back and played it, and it's still fun to this day. I still, every now and then, like, I go into a level, and I'm like, okay, I know there's a secret exit in this one, but how the fuck do I get to it again? And I don't look it up. I don't go to YouTube. I'm like, God damn it. I know where this fucker is. Like, okay. And then it's like, yeah, okay. I got to have the shell fly up. There's the key. Got it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't say enough good things about Super Mario World.
Honestly, it's one, I've hardly played it. And I've all I remember is
God
just
damn
eating,
shame.
Eating apples with Yoshi.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I remember.
Fucking game rules. And it's still, like, it gets hard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's fun and it's colorful and it tricks you like thinking, you know, I'm a kid's game. It's a Mario game, but don't shit yourself. You get to that Star Road. They're like, okay, motherfucker, you got here. Let's see what you got. Like that game is tough. Is fucking tough when you get to Star Road.
Shrimpin' is tough. That is what I honestly, I think I was playing it on the Switch not that long ago and I just, it's just one of those Mario, like Mario 3, I could fucking throw on and just play the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, that one's just more of like a nostalgia thing. Cause I used to play, I get done with Mike Tyson's Punch Out and I'd throw on Super Mario Brothers 3. Uh-huh. And I never had a Super Nintendo. Honestly, I've never owned one.
So I never did either, but my buddy owned one. Mm. And so like I'd play it at his house. And again, that's where like I now own a Super Nintendo. I now own an NES. When we
have fucking Super Nintendo money thrown around,
I do. I got Super Nintendo, dude. So I have sitting upstairs right now. I have an NES, a Super Nintendo. I have my original N64. I still have my original PlayStation, and I still have my original PS2.
Holy shit!
All these are not hooked up, but they can be in a moment's notice. And then I've got obviously we've got our Xbox One and a PlayStation 4. The funny thing is I'm like, Ash. I'm not like a hyper nerd where I don't have like this huge collection of games. Mm-hmm. I have a very concentrated collection of games, and there's a reason I own every one of them.
Yeah, call them keepers.
Yeah. Essentially, you know. And one of them is like I think my Super Nintendo sitting upstairs, I think I have three games for it. That's it.
But Super Nintendo's a bomb ass system. I did play it because emulators exist, so I did play a shitload of Super Nintendo games. But yeah, Super Nintendo is a fucking great system.
Super Nintendo rules. So my end goal here is to eventually have a little nook. I want to hook up. I actually want to hook up an old CRTV, like an old school TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to have my Nintendo, my N64, and my Super Nintendo hooked up. Because at the old house, I bought this little splitter because there's still the red, white, and yellow cords. Mm-hmm. And I bought this little splitter so I didn't have to unplug anything. I just flipped a switch and it would go channel 1, 2, and 3. And I could switch easily between Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and 64. So I want that back. I want my goal is to have that in the basement when it's all said and done. But
that'd be pretty sick.
So then it's just anytime I want to, I'm like, fucking, let's go.
Yep. God, do you remember getting the star in fucking Mario Kart? All we just blurred out the goddamn song.
As soon as we got a star, Kevin, someone would just go.
Just obnoxious 20-year-olds.
And you wouldn't stop until the star ran
away. Oh, yeah,
and everybody in the room's laughing their ass off. Like, it was just, yeah, we had a fucking ton of fun.
Mario Kart rules. That was your number two?
I have no idea
what your number one is.
Oh, my number one is...
I don't have a fucking clue.
I think I know your next two.
All right, what do you think my number two is? I want to hear it.
I think your number two is Dark Souls.
You are 100% right. This game ruined almost every swordplay game I've ever played.
It was the moment you said the combat, because I've watched you play Dark Souls before, and you have told me how fucking incredible the combat is in that game.
This might be my you're going to learn game, because especially if you get someone that's not familiar with it at all, you're going to fucking mop the floor with them within a second.
Because that game is ridiculously
hard.
It's
fucking hard. When you first get into them, they... Like, I remember, so the first one I played was Demon's Souls on the PS3, and I remember going to bed just feeling defeated, mm-hmm. and just thinking, like, motherfucker, man, and, like, I couldn't sleep. I'm not even kidding. I was like, dude, fuck this. Like, it bugged me so much. I loved the setting, and I actually I loved the gameplay. I loved getting my fucking dick knocked in.
But you told me one time, it's hard, but it's fair.
Yes. Oh, it's 100% fair.
If you lose, it's your fucking
fault.
Yeah,
you done fucked up. And a lot of it is because, especially when this game, when they came out, when From Software first developed it, games at the time, we'd kind of lost the consequences for failing.
Oh.
In NES games, there's consequences when you fuck up too many times. You start from the beginning.
Yeah, you go all the fucking
way. There were no real checkpoints. There weren't auto saves. Mm-hmm. And so we were in a time in the gaming landscape where every game was pretty easy because, I mean, yeah, if you failed, you started literally 10 seconds before you failed. And you could just redo it over and over and over again until you finally accomplished it. And with Dark Souls and Demon Souls... That's not how it works, Chief. Like you acquire souls from killing monsters in the game, and if you die, you lose all your souls, which are what you use to increase your character's attributes and buy gear. And in order to get them, you have to go back to where you died, plus all the enemies respawn. Mm-hmm. And so Demon Souls was the first one I played. I didn't beat it until later. Dark Souls 1 is it's not my number one on this list, mm-hmm. but it's fucking close. It's, in my opinion, the greatest world that's ever been built in a game, because it's perfect, and they've never been able to replicate it. And any of they're all great games, but they've never been able to. Like, I remember playing, and it might have been just because it was the first one I really got through. Mm-hmm. Because there's times where you're trudging through these different landscapes of this game, and all of a sudden, you're going through this fucking just nasty ass area, the swampy area with all these monsters. You're poisoned constantly. It sucks so much, and you fucking hate every second that you're here. And all of a sudden, you come out of this tunnel, and it's a shortcut back to familiar area. Mm-hmm. And just like how the world feels so big and vast, yet all connected. It's beautiful. Huh. It's my favorite world, and now I can go in there and I could fucking just mop the floor of that game. Because, I mean, you have to sink so many hours because you're going through the same shit constantly over and over and over. And a lot of it is too, you have to learn to go slow.
Yes.
And just when you first, especially when you first now, I mean, I'll get in there and I'll fucking blaze through there in a minute. You can beat, I mean, I think my first playthrough took me 40 hours. I can beat that game in 3 hours now if you fucking, if you want me to. And yeah, it's my favorite world. And then I just bought my PS5 and Demon's Souls. They did a full remake and it's incredible. And I fucking just, oh my God, I can't even tell you how many hours I was playing that game. And they're just the best, like I said with Skyrim, like Skyrim feels like you're like just kids hitting each other with goddamn paper towel rolls compared to this game. Like the fucking combat in this game ruined Witcher 3. I loved Witcher 3. I can't play these games anymore. I can't do it because it just, the combat just feels so stupid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel earned, I guess. It's the best combat in any game I've ever played.
So, all right. And like I said, as soon as you said the combat, because I know you've talked up that combat a lot. One of my favorite combats was the Arkham games from Batman.
Oh yeah,
because you absolutely felt like Batman.
And those were based around the Assassin's Creed combat.
You were above a room looking down at bad guys. You telling them what you gonna learn today. You felt like Batman. You dropped into a room full of bad guys and ready to whoop a cop. Because
you were
ass.
The one that told me about Arkham Asylum.
Yes. Arkham Asylum was so good.
And me, yeah, it's amazing. And I never did play, short. I never played Arkham City.
Arkham City felt even shorter. Like, I remember when I finished Arkham City, I'm like, that's it? I'm done already? Like, Arkham City was so fast. And then Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
They went a little too hard on that one. Like, they tried too much. You're doing too much, do less. Arkham City is the best one. It's as far as, like, storytelling. They put all the pieces together. Arkham City was fantastic. But what you said there is part of the reason why I love NES games so much is they are a true accomplishment because again, it's get good, son.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's accomplishment is like the best way to say it. Like, cause there are some bosses in this game. There's one boss in Dark Souls 1 where it's a fucking piece of shit cheese fest. And it's not good gameplay.
Yeah.
There's one. And where it is just, it's infuriating because it is unfair. I'll give them one, but the rest, it's fucking amazing.
That's, I guess, one thing. Okay, so one thing about NES is all, because it's the software, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's all about learning the patterns.
The timing.
Timing and patterns. Where does he shoot and when? So then you're beating the bosses and stuff that way. And most bosses in Contra, for example, it's all about knowing how to cheese them.
Yeah.
Like, how do I cheese? Where can I stand that he can't hit me and I can just cheese him to death? That's really what it is. But it's learning those patterns.
Yep, exactly. But it forces you to perfect your strategy.
But it's still, getting to that boss is a fucking chore. And yeah, I'm all about it. But
like, I remember the first time I beat Dark Souls, like just the, like kind of like what you said, like with, you know, with like Contra and that, you're just like, fuck yeah, yes. Oh yeah, man.
You just drop that controller and you go, fuck me.
Yes.
Like Doom Eternal was really good about that. Some of these fucking fights in Doom Eternal, they were fair, but they were fucking hard. And especially when they released that DLC, I broke my controller. Because the quick switch button, I broke the right bumper on my fucking Xbox controller because I was quick switching so much between weapons and trying to do this. And when you would get done with a fight, like you literally would drop the controller and it was, whoo, fuck. And then you had to take a breath, man. You know, just like sit back. But again, it was hard, but it was fair.
Yeah.
That's, and it was one of those things like, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to fucking beat you. God damn it. I'm going to beat this. And yeah, it wasn't a cheese fest. It was just good fun. And yeah, they ruined that too because... Well, they did, because when they released the DLC, like, people loved it, right? Hardcore Doom fans loved it because it was fucking tough. But it was like, okay, this ain't for you. This ain't for your gamers that are save states and I want to start over. This is real fucking shit. Because when a combat mission started, there were no checkpoints in the middle of that. And some of these went on forever. You would think you were done, and then a whole new wave of demons would come in. You're like, son of a bitch, I'm not done yet. And when you died, back to the fucking beginning, son. Well, hardcore gamers loved it. Hardcore Doom fans loved it. The general population did not.
Yeah, they hate that shit.
And so they nerfed it. they released an update and they nerfed it. They fixed some of the combat like encounters. They weren't as long. They made it easier.
They should have like made that like an option in the settings.
100%
Turn that off.
100% They changed it. So when the DLC,
I mean, games do it all the time. They have like hardcore mode.
They changed it when the second DLC came out. So they'd announced this was a two wave DLC, part one and part two. When part two came out, everybody was like, here we fucking go. And I remember like thinking, and I got through it, and I just remember sitting there going, that was fucking easy. And then started reading online about how they nerfed it. And I went back and played the first one. I was like, oh my God, they did. Like, they made this easier. That's bullshit. And so segue into my number one.
Before you get to your number one, do you have any honorable mentions? Anything that almost made the cut?
No, not really. I mean, like the Arkham games, I really love. Take your pick of Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Red Dead 2 would probably be an honorable mention because...
Yeah, we did talk about it a lot for a game.
Talked about it a lot for a game that wasn't on either one of our lists. That game blew my fucking balls off. But no, like I said, I sat down and I wrote this list in 2 minutes. I knew exactly what was on here.
I'm intrigued to hear your number one because I have no idea.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I'll do it before
you do it before you...
Okay. Actually, no, I'll do mine now because I want... Even though you're going to be able to guess my number one, I have a feeling.
I know.
Maybe like Borderlands 2. That was one I played a shitload. It's another kind of, it's very much like Diablo as far as like the concept. You're just looting. That's definitely one. RuneScape is definitely up there. But otherwise, yeah, no, I mean, I came up with my list pretty quickly too, to be honest. But all right, let's hear your number one, my guy.
So my number one is Doom.
Oh.
And not the new one, the original from 1992. And essentially, let's just lump Doom 2 in there because it came out a year later. It was the same game, except for they gave us new monsters and they gave us the greatest first-person shooter weapon of all time in the Super Shotgun.
BFG?
No, the Super Shotgun. The double-barrel shotgun in that game is absolute perfection. It's overpowered as fuck. Once you get it, you don't stop using it. But the sound that thing makes when it goes off and the feeling of shooting it into a room with seven zombies and you kill all of them in one shot is so... It just feels so good.
So satisfying.
But here's why Doom has to be my number one. I've literally owned it on every console I've ever owned. Because one of the running jokes is, but can it play Doom? Like, they've gotten Doom to play on pregnancy tests. That's not even a joke. They've gotten Doom to play, like, they... Just here recently, there was a story that came out about people who hacked the computer system in a John Deere tractor and got it to run Doom. And so I've owned Doom my entire life. One way or another, I have had a copy of this game in my life. I can remember when Doom 2 came out. I remember getting the disc. I remember all of the cheat codes. IDDQDD was God mode. IDKFA was keys and weapons.
I don't know fuck all.
It might be what it stands for. IDKFA. I don't know fuck all. It might be.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, BFG stood for big fucking gun, you know? But it's just, it is, to me, it is, and it's part of the reason why the joke is, can it run Doom, is because the boys at id did something that had never been heard of before. When they released that game, first of all, more copies, this is a fact, more copies of Doom were installed on computers than Windows 95.
Wow. Wow.
That's a fucking fact.
That's crazy.
And the reason is because they released the first episode for free. It was called Shareware back in the day. They gave you the first episode. It's entirely free. Here you go. They banked on the fact that they knew that this game was so fucking fun that people were going to hand that disc to their buddy and be like, you've got to fucking play this.
Yeah.
And then you would go play. Then you would go buy the expansion pack at that point. But one other thing they did is they released the source code. So as soon as 1992, people were releasing mods for this. They didn't fucking care. Go hog wild. To this day, and I have delved into this, I have on my computer right now a program called Doom Builder. I can go in and make Doom levels, release them to the public, and people will play them. And now, like, there's a whole entire world that exists. It's called Doom World. It's a forum. You pull, you throw your shit up it's there. People will play
community.
It. It is this massive fucking community of players. And like, I go to Doom World every now and then when I'm bored. I go in there and I just go start scrolling through like some of the new uploads. They still hold awards every year. They're called the Caco Awards, based off the Caco Demon that's in there, of the best mod, the best mods. John Romero, often considered the godfather of first-person shooters because he was at id, did Wolfenstein, was one of the main level designers in Doom. He just a couple years ago released a new episode for Doom. Here you go. Like, and everybody in the Doom community was just like, yes, and they all played it, and I couldn't fucking wait to get my hands on it. And when they were remaking Doom, I was so fucking excited for that game. I took the goddamn day off that the game came out because I couldn't wait to play it. And I did the same thing when Doom Eternal came out. And they were, as remakes go, and not even really remakes, but as like modern versions of that game, they were amazing. Mm-hmm. Doom was back and it was great. But you cannot beat the original. And I still play it. I just played Doom yesterday. I just went, you know, I was gonna play a little fucking Doom. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's just like it's that comfort perfection. Zone. You can just throw on, you know what?
And the fact that this game came out in 1992 and I can still play new levels for it.
That's really cool.
That's insane. And it's all
free. And it's amazing like how much it's, like you said, it's transcended into this giant community of people that can then also now use their imagination to create.
100%. And people, really cool. And you can go as deep as you want. I use the standard Doom textures and the Doom monsters, but people in this modding community have made new textures. Here's new wall textures. Here's new demons. And it's all free. Here you go.
That's awesome.
Have fucking fun with it. What can you create? How much is your imagination? It's kind of like a Minecraft thing.
I was just going to say.
You know? And so like, it's so cool to sit down and play a game that I played as a kid. And if you would have told me as a 6-year-old kid playing this with my brother that like, hey, you know, you can create your own levels. I'd have been like, what? So like when I downloaded Doom Builder, I nerded out on that for like a year. I made a whole episode and released it online.
That's awesome.
And it's like I said, I'm not exaggerating when I say every console I've ever owned, I've had some version of Doom. Some version of it. Right now they're sitting on my Xbox One. Like, and they don't exist for NES. So I shouldn't say every console.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo had a version of Doom. And 64 had Doom 64. Mm-hmm. Every console has had a version of Doom. And same with this. And to give Bethesda credit, they now own the rights to Doom. They released Doom 1 and Doom 2 on the Xbox Live Arcade, and they are still, to this day, updating it with community mods for free. Every 6 months or so, they'll release a new community mod on there, and they call them official add-ons. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, here you go. Here's a whole new Doom episode that somebody made last year that we thought was really cool. Have at it. They're still releasing it 100% for free. So you buy Doom now for like $4 and you get all this fucking content.
Couldn't find a meter. Here's $4.
But here's $4.
And go buy Doom with it.
Yeah. So I just,
and again, it kind of goes back to what we were saying, like with Minecraft, how graphically like substance over something superficial wins out.
Now, mind you, when Doom was released, it was a technical marvel.
Yeah,
it really was. Like, no one, again, like I said, Wolfenstein was flat square rooms, and Doom not only had stairs and curves, but it had stairs that could rise up out of the floor. Mm-hmm. People had never seen anything like this. Like, Doom was so revolutionary when it came out, and first-person shooters, as you know it today, would not exist without Doom.
Yeah.
And that is just a fact. They wouldn't be there. Doom laid the groundwork, and it's still to this day, like, revered. And like I said, it's 30 years on and people are still talking about it, still making mods, still playing it every day. And I'm one of them.
I honestly, until you brought that up, I had no idea that was even a thing. I had no idea that you did that.
You could. I've got level. And I called my brother and I was like, hey, and he's playing it. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I made this. He's like, you made that level? I was like, yeah, you're playing a level that I made. Isn't that cool? It's not. And okay, here's a perfect example. I'm going to end on this. I would spend hours making a level, testing it, changing this, moving this demon here, placing this guy here. And then you just, you're so proud of it. And I'm like trying to show it to Taylor and she could give two fucks.
Right.
She's just looking at me going, uh-huh. Yeah, no, that's cool. Good job, honey. And I'm just,
they don't fucking get
no,
it.
No, but I'm just beaming. I'm like, did you see it? Did you see it? Look, I put that key there.
They don't fucking get it. I can sit there. I'll be sitting there writing like some fucking beautiful music on guitar that I'm just so in love with. I'm like, oh my God, this is like so inspiring. And Sam's like, hey, can you like quit playing for a little while? Like, yeah, you got it, dude. Yeah. Fucking Michelle Tanner. You got it.
So yeah,
I'm having a moment right here.
Yeah. So Doom has to be my number one. And when I wrote the list, I looked right at Taylor and I told her, I said, we're doing our top 10 video games. I said, I bet you can't guess my number one. She looks at me and she goes, it's Doom. I'm
like, yeah. Well, she knows you better than I do. Cause she knows. I mean, that was like a real M. Night Shyamalan thing. There was hints all the way through.
It was.
It kept coming up and I was sitting there like, oh, I wonder what his number one is. I'll never, okay, Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
So can I guess your number one?
Go for it. I think you know it.
It's Final Fantasy.
Of course, yes. It's Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, I was going to say, you said it was a series.
Yeah.
You love the Final Fantasy games. I knew that. I didn't know which one it was going to be, but I knew it was going to be a Final Fantasy.
So it's Final Fantasy VII if I had to pick one from those games. Final Fantasy IX is fucking close. It's right up. I chose VII because it was the game that exposed me to JRPGs. And just these huge games. Like, I mean, because I came from, you know, playing Nintendo, like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, there's like 11 guys, or Mario, there's so many levels. Like, this was just this huge epic story.
Is this on PS1?
Or? PS1, yeah. Okay. It came out in 1997. I mean, and I didn't have a Super Nintendo, so I never played Final Fantasy VI, which was like, it's incredible, apparently. I've still never played it, which sucks, because apparently it's like one of the greatest JRPGs of all time. But Final Fantasy VII, like I remember sitting there with my brother and my cousin, and we had like one of the strategy guides, and I remember just sitting there for hours just reading it and playing and just learning how the mechanics of the game worked. And I mean, I was 9 years old, 8 and 9 years old, and I beat it. I you know, it's one of those games, like it's a JRPG, so you can power level if you can, you know, be over level to just crush everything if you want to. But like learning, like there's all these mini games, and like one of the mini games is you raise like these birds and you race them, and you have to do this for hours to get a golden chocobo. That's the name of the bird. And because a golden chocobo can go anywhere on the map. It's like you get a flying machine, but it can't land everywhere. And there's this specific materia, which is another name for magic in the game. It's a summon. It's like a god that you can summon to do a spell called Knights of the Round. And the only way you can get it is by getting and breeding a golden chocobo. And so, like, I spent so many hours, like, breeding these chocobos, getting, like, going up the ranks for each one. First you have a regular one, then you get a black one, then a blue one, and a green one. Like, the green one can only go on land. The blue one can run on shallow water. You need a golden one because it can do all of it. It can run up every mountain. It can go everywhere. And you had to use it to get to the Knights of the Round materia. And it's also just got an amazing setting, and they came out with a remake. I still haven't even played the remake. I was so excited when I heard they were going to remake it. And then they released it, and I'm just like, don't fuck with my game. I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
And I downloaded it. I started it. I was like, this ain't. This looks great, but I like my shitty looking sprites.
Yeah. I did the same thing when they said they were releasing Doom in 2016. I'm like. This fucking sucks.
I'm really mad.
I'm going to find you. I will rule you because I'm going to be really mad if you fuck with my shit.
So, like, yes, I had a PlayStation, but I literally got, like, because Final Fantasy VII came out in 1997, mm-hmm. 8 came out in 1998, 9 came out in 1999, and they're all like 50-hour epics, you know, if you play, like, efficiently. And so, like, those are really, like, I remember playing MLB 99 and some like Gran Turismo. But otherwise, I don't really remember playing other than like, you know, Attitude and Warzone. But like once I got fucking, once I got into like Final Fantasy and that, those games kind of went to the wayside. Like I'd play them every once in a while, but like they like completely consumed me.
And that's, and to this day, you still play RPGs.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like that's your favorite.
That's my genre.
Yeah.
And like I have all three of these on my PS5. Like, and they're on my PS4. And just, if I'm just feeling like, you know what, I'm going to go. And Final Fantasy X was the one that came out on PS2. And me and Kyle played the dog shit out of that game. Yeah.
Well, and that's just like me with Doom. Like, Doom was on my Xbox 360. It's on my Xbox One. And you best believe if I get an Xbox X, it's going to be on there too.
Yeah, they're just my comfort food. Like, if I want to play 100%. A game and I'm not really sure what I want to do, you know what? I'm gonna go hop on Final Fantasy VII and go to Midgar. Because it's fucking incredible. It's just an amazing game.
Huh.
An amazing story, amazing villain.
You know, it's kind of funny too. Like I was just thinking about this. I think our demographic, our audience that's listening to these podcasts is probably about the same age as us. But just in case, I mean, how many years did we have between the 360 and the Xbox One or the PS3 and the PS4?
Ooh.
Like, I feel like we had a pretty good amount of time.
Pretty big gap. A lot pretty bigger gap than the PS4 to PS5, for sure.
Right.
I think. I might be wrong.
So, back in the day, like, Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 1, respectively, probably 1997 for both of them. By 01, we were in the PS2, and Nintendo was into the GameCube. Like, with 3 years. So, like, these games that we're talking about, like you with Final Fantasy, like, this was in a 3-year period that this thing shaped so much of what you, and like you said, once you found it, you just kind of put the rest of them to the wayside. And it's just funny that, like, and I feel like the jump from PS2 to PS3 happened really quickly, too, because I think, well, that was about
PS2 is,
it's probably a good 7 years, 01 to 08.
Yeah, because PS3 came out in 08, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, about good 7 years. So So from PS1 to PS2 was about a three and a half year gap, was all. But like, and same with me, like four of my games came from the Nintendo 64. And I feel like you had a couple, I mean, you, some of the modern ones, but like PlayStation 1 was your jam.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And again, this is over a 3-year period.
Yeah, and it made that big impression.
That big of an impression.
And it may have also been, you know, just the age that it was discovered.
Probably too.
But yeah, I also do believe, like, I would not be into JRPGs the way that I am if it wasn't for Final Fantasy.
Well, I was gonna say, listening to you talking about Final Fantasy,
or just any role playing game, like not just JRPGs, because I really like, these are the only JRPGs I really play anymore.
Yeah.
Mostly now everything is all like, you know, Western RPGs and action RPGs.
You are a big fan of the walking around with a sword talking to trees.
Yeah, I'll do that for hours.
You really will. You really will.
I will do any mindless grind for hours.
And I am, put me at the start of the level with a pistol, and I gotta have the red key to get through that door, and I'm off. That's where I'm at. But
it's just like with Diablo, like, there's no, like, I played the story. It's not really not much to it, but like, it's just all about about the gameplay.
This is definitely going to be two episodes.
Yeah, we're at over 2 hours.
We are at 2 hours and 10 minutes right now. We have talked forever about this, but it was a lot of fun.
I'm not gonna lie, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed this.
But like I said, a lot of fun to talk about this. And maybe someday what we'll do to get back into the game stuff is just focus on like one game or something, and both of us play it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That'd be kind of cool.
Both of us play it and talk about it, or we could just gush over a game that we both have played, you know, which judging by this list is not very many.
I was gonna say, we're not really Eskimo brothers when it comes to video games.
Not at all. Not at fucking all, but.
I think I've played about a total of 3 hours on all your games combined.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm over here gushing about them, and you're just like, yeah, no.
And all of that's Mario Kart.
Yeah. Yeah. One of these days, if I get my Nintendo 64 set up, I'll invite you up and we play a little,
oh my gosh,
play a little No Mercy.
Honestly, I just need to go and buy an N64 and get No Mercy.
Yeah, you can buy them pretty cheap, honestly.
But I got N64 money, I'm sure.
All right. Well, like I said, that's our personal list. It's not a greatest of all time, obviously. I mean,
but they're all bangers, though.
I think so. I don't think we had like our
There's nothing obscure. Except for maybe like Shut Your Mouth and
That, yeah, like a wrestling game like No Mercy or Shut Your Mouth is just very much because we were wrestling fans when those games were released. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not putting the new games on because they suck.
Yeah, they really do.
They're not fun, folks.
Exactly. Like, because here's the difference. Like, you could say, like, oh, we're just older now and those just aren't our, you know, those just aren't our cup of tea. If you put if I put Shut Your Mouth in a goddamn console right now and could play it, I would have a blast.
You and I'd be here till midnight.
I would still, yeah, exactly. I could play it for hours.
And that's the thing. I would hand that game to a modern day wrestling fan who's never played it and go, I dare you not to have fun with this.
Yeah, the game was incredible.
I dare you not to have fun with this.
They need to re-release all those PS2 ones.
They're very good about, like, Nintendo, for example. All you have to do is just download. They have emulators for NES and Super mm-hmm. Nintendo and all that shit. It all still exists. PS2 seems to be like kind of a forgotten era. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of games that are only available on the PlayStation 2 that you just never will get to play again unless you have a PlayStation 2.
PS Plus, you can go. They do have, it's like a classics catalog, and they are adding a lot of PS2 stuff, but like none of the
there were 007 games like Nightfire and shit like that I loved playing back in the day.
Well, like, although I remember like the Lord of the Rings games. I remember playing Lord of the Rings Two Towers on there. That was a lot of fun. And I mean, I honestly, I just wish they would release Gun. I kind of want to go back and play it again.
I know. When I put this list together, the first one I wrote was Gun. My first thought was, fuck, I wish I could play that. Because I don't know what happened to my copy of it. I still have my copy of PlayStation 2. No fucking idea where my copy of Gun went.
I think I have the case somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I might have my copy.
Got a copy. We could watch a copy.
I was going to make that joke a few seconds ago. I was like, I don't want to interrupt. But I was saying the same thing. Got a copy. We're going to watch the copy. I might have my copy at home. I will check. All right. I'll check.
Because that would be one that I would love to go back and play again.
That could be I wish there was a way. Fuck, there's just no way to do it. Where like we a reaction of us like replaying it.
Replaying it, yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
Maybe if I do have my copy, we could like, I don't know. We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out. But all right, this has been a ton of fun.
It really has. I enjoyed the shit out of this.
It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys liked our list. You can scream at us a little bit later for those of you that know us in person. Otherwise, send us an email because we do have an email. twoguysatalk@gmail.com.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You know something? You suck. All right, let's get out of here.